Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we're able to come in here and meet, and that it's nice and cool in here. And we thank you so much for the people that are going to fix our unit and our guarantees that we're going to have. We just thank you that your hand was all under that. Father God, I pray today that somebody would be able to say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord today, even though it's in the fellowship hall. Father, please be with the music today, and please be with our pastor as he brings the word. And just thank you so much for the ones that are so committed about coming all the time. Be with Don as he's getting ready for his exam for tomorrow, and just watch over him and Dee Dee and BJ over there. Lord, we just love you with all of our hearts. As we focus on you and not focus on what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow, just today, because you are here with us, even though we're not the sanctuary, the Holy Spirit is here. And you are welcome, Holy Spirit, to do whatever it is that you want to do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to talk about a guy today. No, not you, Scott. His name was Nick Cruz. He was born in Puerto Rico. He was a young fellow, and his parents decided to dabble into witchcraft. And they were mentally abusive to their son. And his mother said, "You're just the son of Satan," which is bad. So because that Nick got into trouble lots of times, they sent him off to New York to live with his brother. Well, he was only 15, and he didn't like living there, so he decided to live on the streets, and he did for quite some time. And before he knew it, he was called the warlord of the Mau Maus. It's a gang that they had up there. And he felt, you know, pretty important about that gang. His parents didn't care what happened to him. He just thought that he was all that in a bag of chips now. Well, shortly, there was a man named David Wilkerson, that's right, Wilkerson. And he came and was preaching in the cities of New York. And he knew where these gangs were. Where he lived off the streets was a very poor part of town. And he would come and preach to these gang members and say, "Hey, Jesus loves you, you know, and you need to give your life to Jesus." Well, this made Nick Cruz so mad that he even told him he would kill him if he saw him again. Shortly after that, David Wilkerson came, held a meeting in a place where they are pretty close to, and invited all the gang members, in fact, a bunch of gang people, to come over and to listen to him. And that night, the Holy Spirit chose to not condemn, but convict Nick Cruz. And when he did, he gave his life to Jesus. Nick, at that time, he even told the other kids in the gang, said, "Hey, this is what we need to do. And give this money man so he can, you know, further his ministry." And after that night, the next day, the gang that he was in, or the leader of the gang, they took all their knives, guns, and anything else that they had been vandalizing with and turned them into the police station. The police said, "If we had seen you walk up, we would have shot you on sight." Because obviously they did some pretty rough things up there. But they were surprised at this, that these kids, all this gang, had turned their lives over to Jesus. Well, Nick decided he would go to Bible college. And he did, and he became a minister. I looked up several things here of why do people join gangs. Because they feel respected and important, they make money from crime or drugs, they're gaining status and feeling powerful, a sense of connection of who they are that come usually from dysfunctional families, a need to protect themselves, peer pressure, But it all starts at home, feelings of low self-esteem. Now, his parents were doing a witchcraft, they were really into it a whole lot. And I guess that's probably not a big surprise in Puerto Rico, because I think they probably believed in voodoo and other things down there. But his mother constantly told him that he was worthless and you know, sent him away when he was 15. And I guess his brother really didn't give him the attention that he needed. But this is how God wants us to work. In our families, he wants us to have a loving family, to encourage people in your family, to lift them up, to tell them about Jesus and that they can feel important. All those things, why people join gangs, Jesus is the answer. So when we are around our family, we need to be encouraging. We need to reach out and help people when they're down. Not just give them material things, but tell them how much that Jesus loves them. I mean, God chose this guy from Puerto Rico, and he lived on the streets, and he was big time, big bad guy of the gang, and God chose him to become a Christian. And he is still, he's like in his 80s, but he's written several books about how his life turned out. And you know, that just gives me incentive to know that, hey, God is not a respecter of people. He will bring anybody he wants to into the family of God. And I'm just so surprised that parents would do this to their kids. But it happens all the time. I see it. I've heard it all the time. The kids that lived next door to us when we lived on San Leah, they were in a gang. Obviously, they weren't getting what they needed at home either. They were into drugs, and then the youngest boy, you know, had an overdose and died. And they still let some of their family sell drugs out of the house. I mean, I think God was reaching out more and more. I was glad that I was able to minister or present the gospel to their oldest son. He was on drugs and he thought that his nephew was inside their house and he wanted to break the windows in the house to get to him and all this stuff, and he was out of it. And I told him, I said, it's time that you straighten up your life. You have children. Do you really want them to go through what you're going through? It's very important how we talk to one another. Even this family in here, we're family. And it may be that your parents might have said something to you to discourage you, to make you have low self-esteem. This is why this happens. Satan is going to have people out there to bring kids and adults in to his perspective if they don't get that environment that's so good at home. So we need to watch what we say to one another, how your words can tear somebody down, and we need to be encouraged and edify each other and help one another. I just thought it was amazing that this kid, just in Puerto Rico, 15 years old, got kicked out of his house, and he ended up being a great minister and writing books for the Lord. And I think it's amazing. And what God can do with us, think what he can do with us. We're in the right position to honor God and to do what it is that God wants us to do. And you say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. You have to be open to the Holy Spirit, to listen to what he wants you to do. You know, you have to have a relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You've got to be able to listen. Sometimes, especially like people like Don and I, we're constantly talking or trying to make jokes. You know, we need to get in our quiet places and listen to God. And that takes practice. That takes discipline. And it's just something that we need to do. And nothing about Don or I. That's our personalities. We like to make people feel comfortable by being silly sometimes. But we all have to listen to the Lord. We've got to listen. And if you got to get someplace really quiet and alone, then that's what you got to do. And you've got to ask God, what is it that I can do to further your kingdom today? What is it that I can say? Help me to say the words I need to. Help me to do the things I need to. Help me to extend, you know, even a smile to somebody can make their day. I have heard of people say, there was this one child that he was at school all the time, and he got bullied, and he was just so done, he wanted to commit suicide. The day he wanted to commit suicide, he took everything out of his locker, was going home, and somebody came and went, "Hi, how you doing? I've never got to really talk to you at school and stuff." And that changed his whole attitude. He didn't commit suicide. I mean, the suicide rates within teenagers is growing all the time because they don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel secure. They have low self-esteem. And we just got to watch what we do. And, you know, and the church needs to, especially we as a church, we need to help one another and edify and be encouragement to each other. So that was all. I just thought it was a cool story about Nick Cruz. I think he's awesome. I think God can see that in anybody. He can use anybody. Even a gang leader, he can use them. And I think it's wonderful. My sister practiced Satanism at one time. And I had to do a lot of talking with her. But she got right with God and she's in heaven, I know. But it's just so easy because we're looking for something. Children are looking for something. Acceptance, they're looking for love. They're looking for something constantly. And that's the thing that God puts in us. As soon as we're born, we're always looking towards something. That feeling, that self-esteem buildup by your parents, that love, anything. And we can do that. You know, I don't suggest you go out and just kiss all over somebody and hug them on the street. That wouldn't be good, but you can extend. If they need hugged, you hug them. If they don't smell that all that good, you hug them. Whatever it is God wants you to do, you need to do it. And that is it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.